it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hour number two here on this Tuesday. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. We always like our conversations with our next guest, Alan Bell, 24/7 Sports, CBS. He does it all. Alan, how you doing?
I'm doing good, fellas. Y'all doing all right?
How crazy has it been for you?
It's been a little while. With everything going on, it's certainly been a change, especially with sports being off. That's a change as well. But you do what you can. You try to make the best of it, and you keep going forward. That's about all we can do.
What do you make of the Christian – let's just start there. What do you make of the Christian McCaffrey deal yesterday afternoon?
Surprising. Didn't expect it at least this soon. In terms of it coming with the years that he has, left, on his original deal. But it makes sense. It's a team that understands that, this guy's dynamic. He's more than a running back. He's already their franchise leader, I think, in reception yards in a year and total receptions. I mean, this guy's already setting franchise records. So, they're going to pay him one day. And, you look at who he is in terms of a running back and a wide receiver. It's a hefty price tag, but he's more than a running back. You know what I mean?
Why do you think Carolina did choose to do this right now in the middle of April?
It's a good question. I don't really know. The only thing that I could think would be getting ahead of it. If they look at it and say, there's going to be a Derrick Henry that's going to get paid, sometime this offseason. Alvin Kamara is going to get paid sometime this to next offseason, and maybe there's some other running backs that I'm not thinking of. But that's the only thing that really makes sense, because you've got a new head coach in Matt Rhule, so it's not like it's something that, the head coach is rewarding a guy, for. He hasn't even, coached him yet. So that's about the only reason that I could think of.
What do you think that deal means? When you think of the deal and then you think of Derrick Henry and John Robinson and Jimmy Sexton, what does that mean on that end of things? I guess how would you answer that? Because I feel probably different than most. How do you feel about it?
Well, I think that, it changes the market overall in terms of running backs, but I don't think it's going to affect Derrick Henry and the Titans too much per se, right? In terms of, contracts and precedent with a position, it might have just taken, Derrick Henry's deal from, say, 12.5 to 13.5 per year, maybe somewhere around there. But it's not like Derrick Henry and Christian McCaffrey are really kind of comparable. I know that they're both running backs, but they're not the same type of player at all, and I don't think that Derrick Henry was going to be anywhere near a $16 million per year somewhere. So I think that it changes the market, just for raising the floor, but I don't think that it's going to have a huge effect on what the Titans and Derrick Henry do.
Yeah, I feel the same way you do. I feel exactly the same. It changed the market. It didn't really change, I don't believe, the deal for Derrick Henry. So what do you think still is probably the magic number for this deal to get done before the middle of July?
Yeah, probably in that, that 13.5, somewhere around there, 14. I think if you start looking above 14, you're doing yourself a disservice as an NFL team because, look what the market – take the Christian McCaffrey part out of it. Look at the market for running backs before that. Todd Gurley released. Devontae Freeman released, right? Like, there's not going to be any leverage coming from other NFL teams that are going to want to sign Derrick Henry and take him away on some huge, massive deal. So there's not a lot of leverage, really, for Derrick Henry to be demanding a high number. I think you keep him at a manageable 13.5 or so, per year. And if you want to throw some incentives out there, be my guest, because if those incentives get hit, that means it's a win-win for both sides.
Yeah, Alan Bell on the line with this CBS Sports line. So what do you think? What do you think? What about guaranteed money? Where are you at on the guaranteed money for Derrick Henry?
Yeah, you know, I think it depends on how many years, you know, you're looking at, right? So if you get, you know, say it's a three-year deal, right, and you're looking at, you know, 13 and a half, you know, somewhere around there. So that's what, 3 years, $39 million. You know, I would look at the 26, 28, you know, maybe even 30. I think it's going to be somewhere around what that franchise tag number is going to be. You know, you're going to have to throw a little bit out there more, you know, just so he's happy and because he's your guy. And, you know, I think both sides want it to benefit both. But, yeah, I mean, if you're looking at 3 years, I would look around that 28, 29, somewhere around there. And, again, you know, if you want to get, you know, some incentives in there, then you know, be my guess.
If I just said, Alan, what do you think of the AFC South as we head into the draft right now today? What would you say?
I think it's feast or famine, right? Like, I think you've got teams in the, you know, with the Titans, the Texans that are, you know, proven, right? Like, I think even though Bill O'Brien kind of is a crazy person in the offseason, the team wins, right? Like, I mean, they're good. I think both teams, you know, are going to be exactly who we think they're going to be. But then you've got the Colts and you've got the Jaguars. And I know that, you know, the Colts are going to be a Vegas favorite. But, I mean, why, right? Like, what did they show last year? Phillip Rivers is on a new team that's not really going to have an offseason to learn, you know, playbook, teammates, you know, all that stuff. Like, they've got so much more, you know, that they're going to have to show me. And then the Jaguars, like, they're going to be a disaster. So I think it's going to be the two teams that we think are going to be there at the top. And then the other two, good luck.
Alan Bell is with us, Sportsline, 24/7 Sports. And one more on Derrick Henry. That we know they have the cap space. We know that, you know, they $10 million or so is already counting against the cap, so they can get this done. But do you think that part of the strategy with John Robinson right now is waiting to see how things might play out with Jadeveon Clowney, with Logan Ryan, with some, you know, another trade or free agent that we haven't talked about, plus the draft, and then he's going to circle back and try and get Henry done?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're exactly right on that. And because, you know, besides Christian McCaffrey, there's nothing that's really going to change the market for Derrick Henry to begin with, right? So you take your time. Do you go get a Clowney? Do you re-sign Logan Ryan? What do you do in the draft? Like, I think a big question, you know, is you know, when do the Titans look at that number two running back position? Because they're going to have to. One way or another, they have to address it, right? So did they spend a higher draft pick on a DeAndre Swift, a J.K. Dobbins, somebody like that, which can change, you know, not a ton of what you're doing with Derrick Henry, but again, you have to get that. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think that they're going to use pretty much, you know, all offseason to get that deal done with Derrick, because there could be changes not only to running back, you know, depth on that team, but overall, you know, with other free agents.
John Robinson did acknowledge last week, I guess it was, when he met with reporters via conference call, that he had spoken to Jadeveon Clowney's camp. They had engaged in conversations. So how serious do you think those conversations are?
Oh, I bet they're very serious. Now, with if you look at the market for Jadeveon Clowney, all right, so after the draft, there's only going to be three NFL teams that are going to be $20 million or more under the salary cap: the Browns, the Texans, and the Titans. Okay, so the Browns and Titans are both going to be involved in Clowney. Texans, obviously, they're not going to be. They had traded them away previously, right? So with Jadeveon Clowney, you might not be, like, if you're the Titans, you might not be battling other teams per se for Clowney. You're kind of battling him. So I wouldn't be surprised if Clowney kind of takes all offseason, uses this, you know, kind of odd time, odd offseason to wait till training camp and try to get more leverage with more teams, you know, to get involved. So again, like you know, John Robinson and them might not be battling the Browns per se. They might be battling Clowney, you know, just waiting to see if anybody comes back in to the market for him. But I think it's very serious. I think the Titans absolutely do want to get him. They just have to get him for the right price per year.
Titans are scheduled to pick at 29th overall. And, you know, one thing we've been discussing, Alan, is their biggest need. And I think it's kind of changed a little. It could be corner. It could be pass rush. I mean, you brought up the backup running back. I think receiver will be in play as well. And so with all that said, I'm starting to lean towards that they trade out of the first round to acquire more picks. What do you think about that?
Yep, I completely agree with you. I think that that's probably what they try to do. Now, the hard part is going to be this, is that are we going to see any trades in the first round just because this draft is so completely different than anything that we've ever seen, right? So I think that, you know, they'll try and see if the market's there. But if it's not, then you just go get the best player available. And the Titans finally find themselves in the most enviable spot in the NFL draft. And what I mean by that is this, is that this is the spot that the Steelers are in every year, that the Ravens are in now, that the Patriots are in every year, right? And that means that you don't have to go crazy trying to fill, you know, just an immediate hole. You're good. Your team's good. You're returning so many solid players that, you know what, you could get aggressive, right? So if you're at that position and you see, you know, a D-end outside linebacker that you want, go get him. If you see a cornerback that you want, go get him. But maybe you're sitting there and you're saying, you know what, we could trade back, get back like 6, 7, 8 spots. We like the running back, DeAndre Swift or whoever that's out there right now. Forget it. Let's go do it, right? Like there's so many options that they could do that they're in a really good spot. Now, I would not be surprised if this is the most aggressive draft that we've seen for Robinson and Vrabel.
Alan Bell is with us. Always fun talking football with him as we count down to the NFL draft. So, Alan, I know you've been following this closely. Where do you see it? Where do you see Tua going, and where do you see Jalen Hurts going?
Yeah, great. All right, so that's a great question. So first, on Tua, I still think the Miami Dolphins make the most sense. I mean, it's going to be the Dolphins or Chargers. I think the biggest question is, can the Dolphins wait and get him at 5, or are they going to have to trade up, you know, to 3 to go get him, kind of the conventional wisdom, you know, that we all thought. Now, with Jalen Hurts, you know, this is where it gets interesting because we've really never seen the NFL as it is in terms of the quarterback position where the supply is so much larger than the demand, right? Like we saw this offseason, there were so many quarterbacks that got signed. There's, what, 4, 5, 6, 7 quarterbacks that are in the draft. There's not a lot of teams that need starters. Plus, Cam Newton's still out there. Jameis Winston's still out there. Andy Dalton's going to be out there. So what I mean by all of that is this, is that Jalen Hurts might fall a little bit. There might be a couple quarterbacks that fall just because the demand is not really there. But while that seems bad for Jalen Hurts, that could really, really work out for Jalen Hurts because you could find yourself a team like the Steelers that need a good backup quarterback and say he ends up there. Well, you know what? You don't know how Ben Roethlisberger is going to be this year anyway. And two, he might not be there longer than a year to where instead of you taking over a Dolphins or a Chargers and trying to lead that team from the bottom, now you're taking over a playoff team, right? So I think you could look at there. You could see even the Green Bay Packers that are kind of try to look at doing the Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, now Aaron Rodgers to insert Jalen Hurts, right? Like there could be a good team that just looks at Jalen and says, all right, kid, you're going to have to sit for a year, 2 years, but we're going to be really good, and you're going to have your hands full as soon as you get in.
Alan, you've got some interesting insights on Juwan Jennings. And with everybody now sort of getting creative on how to use guys and get people on the field, utility roles, things like that, tell me your forecast for Juwan.
Yeah, so, you know, with Juwan Jennings, I mean, he's going to be so difficult because he's a differently built player, right? Like as a wide receiver, he's, you know, in the 4.7 something range with a 40. Like he's not going to be, you know, a high draft pick, a guy that's on the board that teams are going to look at. However, you know, he's one of those players that we all kind of saw, you know, in the SEC. I've seen the kids since he was in high school. He's just one of those guys that gets a job done, right? So I could see a team like, say, the Buffalo Bills, you know, that they play a physical style of football, and they've got, you know, a young nucleus in terms of their offense to where he could fit something like that. I could see him with a San Francisco 49ers. To where you specifically use Juwan Jennings in, you know, a special teams kickoff type role, not to mention, you know, inside the 20 in the red zone, to where he's just a mismatch type guy that the defenses don't really know what to do with him. So, you know, I think that he's just such a different, you know, kind of wide receiver than what's going to be up there that teams are going to have to be smart. And if you get the right mentality, you know, with the team, with the coach, we've seen what Juwan Jennings can do. You know, he just seems to make the play exactly when you need it. and he could really help an NFL team.
All right, Alan, I'm going to throw it this way because I know Darren and Chase have been following this, but I want to get your thoughts because I think we're going to hit on this at some point during the show today because I know you've been following closely the one and only infamous Vince McMahon in the news cycle right now with not only the fallout of the XFL, but the continuing what he's going to try to do with his WWE. You followed it closely, so where do you think it's going?
Yeah, so yesterday Vince was greasing a lot of palms, right? Like, I mean, he had a busy day when you have XFL bankruptcy in the morning, and then you convince, you know, the state of Florida that you're an essential business in the afternoon. I mean, it's wild, right? Like, I mean, it's Vince McMahon. Like, his life is wrestling. Like, it's craziness. You know, first the XFL, I hate it for all the people there because it was, you know, it was kind of working, right? But it just seems like this thing is snake bit. And the NFL always wins. And then two, you know, if you remember during 9/11, right, like afterward, you know, Vince McMahon in wrestling, you know, he made it a point to say, you know, that they were the first sport that came back. And I don't mean that as a disrespectful thing. I mean that, you know, he wanted to be, you know, the sport that came back for the people, that put on the show, you know, that kind of helped everybody kind of get together and bring some, you know, happiness back into life. And I think that's really important to him. And I think he wants to do the same thing now. We saw the UFC, you know, there's a reason why they were trying to do the exact same thing. Vince McMahon is doing everything he can to get back on TV because this guy, he doesn't want to stop. He wants to continue. The show must go on.
Is there any truth that Marty and Wendy Bird helped negotiate his deals yesterday? Alan, have you heard that to be a fact?
It's a great question.
Hey, they can get stuff done.
That they can.
Hey, always good to talk to you. Continue to be safe, and we'll chat soon.
Man, you guys too. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
That is Alan Bell. He's always fantastic. CBS Sportsline is where you can find his work. We will come back. A lot to digest. After that conversation, we'll get into a bunch of it. On the other side, Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
No chance, so that's what you got. Up against a machine too strong. Pretty politicians by his own.
Good stuff from Alan Bell, CBS Sportsline. Always good to talk to him. Tim Corbin in the final hour of the program and in the next hour. If you didn't hear our conversation with Eddie George, man, you missed out. It was really, really good. And speaking of that, we've got our Final Four set, the Nashville Sports Bracket, the best Nashville athletes in the last 30 years, and we are down to our Final Four. 3 1-seeds and a 2-seed have gone through. And remember, this is your voting. This is not us as a group picking these. This is you voting on thegamenashville.com and our Twitter handle, at 1025 The Game. And right now, Steve McNair versus Shea Weber is the left side of the bracket. Eddie George versus Pecorine is the right side of the bracket. So with that being said, where are we on that today?
Well,
as we are two hours and 15 minutes in or so.
So yesterday... just to give you
choked up over this, aren't you?
I am.
It's dramatic. It's the drama
trying
is
to
coming
get my
to
lap
a head.
And I'm getting choked up. I mean, there's a lot going on. So you mentioned Eddie George. He defeated Mookie Betts 82.5 to 17.5. Pecorine beat his teammate Philip Forsberg 87.1 to 12.9. So pretty easy for those guys. Now today, Steve McNair, Shea Weber. Steve McNair leads 73%. To 27%. So Steve McNair in control over the former Predators captain. This is the one that's interesting because Pecorine leads Eddie George 63-37.
Wow.
Whew. I thought it'd be much closer than it is right now. Mm. So right now, this is shaping up tomorrow with the finals, the championship, to be the greatest Titan in history versus, in my opinion, the greatest Predator in history, Steve McNair versus Pecorine. Mm.
Wow.
That's
wow. Now, there's something. A long ways to go. Now, we've still
is
got
is anybody,
absolutely.
I mean,
nine and a half
I think
hours.
You're saying, for Pekka to, well, it's not insurmountable for Eddie George to come back at this point. We've seen some radical swings, but I feel like Pekka is in the driver's seat here. I'm surprised. I thought this would be 50-50 at best. And I thought I would have made Eddie George the favorite. What did you have the betting line on, Darren? What was the line on that?
Oh, it was 1.5. Eddie George by 1.5. I mean, it was a
yeah. So Eddie George the favorite. See, I would agree. I thought Eddie George would have been the favorite there.
Yeah, yep. It was a low line. Eddie George was a slight favorite.
Stephen Shea, I saw McNair by 3.5.
Yeah, it was a little bit more. Yep, mm-hmm. That's what it's. Yeah, I think it went off at 3.5. It started off at 3, so a little bit of the money came in on McNair.
Yeah.
Pushed it up to 3.5.
Yeah, but, you know, Pekka and Eddie, I mean, I think everybody expected it to be close. But, you know, as you said, long way to go. I'm curious to see, you know, win some. Because what we've seen with this contest, guys, is you have people that are supporting certain players, and they come in on social media, and that's when the vote starts to swing one direction or another. So, curious to see what kind of support comes for any of these guys as the day goes on.
Have we heard from our buddy Johnny in Vancouver? He was the campaign manager for Philip Forsberg, and unfortunately they lost yesterday to Pekka. Have we heard anything from Johnny yet?
Have not heard anything. I will say this. They ran a clean campaign, really gave it a good fight, so have not seen any type of concession speech or anything coming out yet from Johnny, but they did run a nice campaign and just came up short.
Yeah, I would agree with that. We have put out today's brain exercise. We want to keep those brains active.
People are getting feisty over this.
They are
too.
Feisty over this one.
Yeah,
today,
they're rebelling. They're rebelling on this one. I can see it.
Yeah, they're angry today over this one. In fact,
there's some people that really appreciate the finer points of billiards that think that there's an extreme violation going on here.
Yeah. So if you want to check that out, we'd love for you to jump in there. We had massive participation yesterday in our brain teaser, and I would say 80 to 85% of the answers were incorrect. So hats off to everybody who did nail yesterday's brain teaser. It was difficult. I did reveal the answer this morning. I did go back and like all the correct answers, but it was 80, 85% incorrect to correct yesterday. But today, you're right, they're angry. In fact, it has spewed over into so much venom. Hal Gill is now arguing yesterday's answer. I mean, that's how angry today's brain teaser is. Skillsy's arguing yesterday's answer.
There's no argument for yesterday's answer. I thought that was legit.
Speaking of Skillsy, I was a little concerned about him yesterday. I mean, Mr. Gill, you know, we've seen Mr. Gill post quite a bit, and he just seemed very flustered. Mm-hmm. Yesterday in his latest video.
A little out of sorts.
I mean, he took the glasses off, messed up his hair, canceled happy hour. You know, Predators happy hour, he said it's paused. He just seemed very out of sorts. I guess it was a rough day for Mr. Gill at the office.
Do you think quarantine life is getting to Mr. Gill?
I don't think that. I know that.
Well, he is a very active and social guy.
He is.
And so I have to believe that, it's taken its toll on Mr. Gill.
Social distancing is probably difficult for Skillsy.
Yeah.
Because he's such a social guy.
Very difficult.
Yeah, yes, it is. For others, it's okay. They're comfortable.
I can honestly say that I've had times where I've been bored, but you know, I mean I've said this before, I'm an only child, so I'm used to it. Like, I'm used to having times where I'm by myself, so I've been okay. But over the weekend, this was the first time that I really got antsy, and like I was having to find something to do. So it's I think some people deal with it better than others, but it's now it's just getting to me too. I'm like, I gotta do something.
It's had my moments, but I'll be perfectly honest, full disclosure, we are on the go so much. Our lives are so hectic and just go, 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 go. I've got to be honest, it's been nice to slow down for a bit.
Yeah,
and appreciate things a little bit more. You know, sometimes we get caught up in our daily life, and it's just the hustle and bustle. it never stops from start, you know, from sun up to sundown. And, you know, it's been nice to slow down and just kind of look around. I appreciate things a little bit more than maybe than when you don't get time to appreciate things like you did. That's just my perspective. This answer could change here soon. But as of right now, I don't want to say I've enjoyed it, but it's not like I've been, you know, scratching at the walls to get out. I mean, when I do, we get out a little bit. If I need to go take a drive, I just told you. Yesterday, literally, after the show, I said, I just need to go drive. So I went to Home Depot, and I went to Academy Sports just because. And I didn't need anything. I just did it just to get out.
Yeah,
and I wore a mask.
I've done that, too. Like, I've just gone – like, I haven't even gotten out of my car or something. I've just gone for a drive just to kind of get out. But, you know, what's funny. So I guess Thursday will be a month that we've been doing the shows from home. Is that right?
This is show 19?
Yeah, so that feels right, that it would be a month ago Thursday we came – we ended up doing the shows from home. Well, when I left the station the day before – our first home show, I filled up with gas. I have not gotten gas since then.
I know. That has been – I know. And we can't even take advantage of the great gas prices.
I'm not driving. I'm not doing anything. So.
The last time I put gas in my car, guys, I cannot make this up. $1.44 a gallon.
Yeah.
$1.44 a gallon.
Yeah, and I still have – I'm just a little under half a tank, I think. So, I mean, I'm in good shape. I may just go fill up just to fill up. But, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. And, you know, just sitting here, I've been watching old sports like we all have, and, you know, that's even kind of getting old. The one thing that I've discovered that I like that I wish I had done more is just sitting on the porch, you know, just – thinking, listening to music, having a drink. I haven't done that in a long time, and I've been doing that a lot lately, just sitting on my front porch.
One of my
that is something that has happened, Darren. You made the point. And we are experiencing that in our house. Like, just the four of us together, you know, there are times that, just like everybody says, we drive each other crazy, right? We got to retreat to our corners of the house. But we have enjoyed a lot of family time because, like you said, when you have the two kids with their activities and our separate activities, we get moving so fast. And, you know, my travel and everything, there's just so few days other than maybe, you know, a couple weeks of summer vacation, we're all together in the same place for anything close to this. So there is an upside to a lot. And I got to be careful on how I say that, because I know that there are a lot of families that don't have that option, right? Mm-hmm. They got people who are garbage men and delivery people and working in the grocery stores, and you know, they're putting their necks on the line, you know, and while this crisis is going on, they got a lot of stress, or maybe they're out of work and, you know, they can't, you know, they got to figure out a way to put food on the table. So I'm careful to, you know, emphasize that too much, but you know, for those of us that have been fortunate enough to be able to work from home, there is, you try to take advantage of what upside you do have available to you.
I would agree with that. We'll come back. Trent Dilfer got a lot of run this week. He's gotten a lot of run this week on ESPN and SportsCenter and NFL Live, working out Tua. And we've had some conversations with Trent over the years. Also, a NASCAR driver has been fired. We will discuss all those things on the other side of Darren, Donick, and Chase. But first, Willie, you've got a word about Lee Company.
Okay, sounds great. Let me tell you about Lee Company, and they are continuing to provide services if you do have issues. And as we were talking about, with the temperature fluctuating, got down close to freezing last night. You probably had that heat cranked up, and in the coming days, you'll have to get the air going again. So it's always important to have your heating and cooling units running efficiently. That's where Lee Company can get it done for you. 615-567-1000 is the phone number to always keep in mind. And also, you can go online at leecompany.com. If you've got a maintenance issue, you're at home a lot, you're probably observing some things in your house moving a little slower, that you say, you know what, I've been meaning to address that, and I haven't done it. So maybe that's something you want to go on right now. So call Lee Company, 615-567-1000. Tell them you need some general maintenance. Tell them about the problem, and they'll send the right crew out there to fix it for you. Lee Company is a proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators. Let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
As we were just talking about, a lot of you are working from home, and as we deal with this pandemic here in our country and in the world, and you can stream us anywhere. We're still here. We're trying to provide you some relief, some content every day, kind of get your minds off of it. You can download us on the Game Nashville app. You can enable your Alexa skill or Google Home and ask it to play 102.5 The Game, or you can live stream us from the website, thegamenashville.com. A lot of options there for you. Let's talk about yesterday's This Is What I Know and something that we talked about. And there has been some closure on that front, but it looks like Chip Ganassi and Kyle Larson have parted ways from the incident over the weekend.
Yep. He got fired. I mean, that's basically what it was. And what happened, I mean, when your sponsors, McDonald's, Credit One Bank, those are the two biggest, Clover, they all said Chevy, they're like, hey, we're done. We're out. We don't want anything to do with Kyle Larson anymore. You can't say that word. And so they were telling Chip Ganassi, we're not going to be associated with him. We're pulling. He didn't have a choice. So Chip Ganassi and Kyle Larson parting ways, Chip Ganassi firing him, essentially. And I don't know what all that means contract-wise and stuff like that, but there will be a new driver for the 42 car once NASCAR resumes. I don't know if they'll start that with the online stuff that they've been doing, because there have been sponsorship dollars changing hands because of the online racing, because they're getting TV coverage and all of that. So I don't know exactly what that means for this weekend's iRace, but this all happened on iRacing. I mean, he's one of those guys that races a lot, and I believe this was a World of Outlaws thing he was in, and got caught saying a word that he doesn't need to be saying. So I'm not surprised at all. And I knew this is probably where this was going. We talked about that yesterday, so I don't think anyone's surprised. But it's a lesson of one word can end a guy's career, and that's exactly what has happened.
Very, very.
But I mean, it's not a complicated lesson at all, right? I think we've known this for years. That's an easy one.
Well, in NASCAR,
there are some things where something is taken out of context. Some segments would be more sensitive than others, and there's a debate, and probably a worthy debate, of are we being too politically correct or oversensitive, all of these things. This is an easy one, right? This is one everybody agrees. This is what you don't do.
Well, and especially because we all know, Darren, you obviously did the NASCAR show with Liz for a long time. Willie, you were part of that at one point, but I know that you two aren't as big of fans as I am and don't follow the sport as closely anymore. But we all know that there was a stereotype with NASCAR for a long time of being a Southeastern sport, and they have tried very hard to have a diversity program and to separate themselves from some of the old ways of thinking. And you see a diverse group of drivers that are a part of this now. And so when something like this happens, they are very quick to react, and they should be. NASCAR suspended him immediately. Chip Ganassi suspended him. And then everything started with the sponsors, and ultimately it led to him losing his job. So this is just kind of where we are as a society. And I think, all parties involved outside of Larson himself, I mean, they handled this the way that they needed to handle it. And now, does he end up back with, back in NASCAR at some point? Maybe, probably. I mean, it's happened before where drivers have had a situation, similar to this, and they do come back. But right now, he's out of a ride. And most likely, Ross Chastain, who's been filling in for Ryan Newman, he is still under contract with Chip Ganassi Racing, their developmental program. He probably gets that ride, if I had to guess, at least in the interim. But it's, again, not a hard lesson, but it's a big lesson.
No. It's pretty easy. I said my piece yesterday, and this is what I know. I mean, it's like, come on, man. If you don't If you haven't figured that out by now, and if you don't get it by now, then I don't know if you are going to get it. And you should pay the price. Because it's, you know, you can't, to me, I wanted to hear the apology of, I've got to change my mindset. I've got to change my ways. Because I said it yesterday. This is just my personal opinion. You don't just blurt that out there, and it's the first time you've said, right? Especially in this situation, like if you're not even aware of what you're doing, and you say that, like on the stage that you were on.
Sure.
I mean, it's one thing if this was kind of the, you know, the LA Clippers owner moment where he's getting, you know, recorded in a private conversation, right? And he didn't realize he was getting recorded. This is him doing iRacing. It's like, man, if you are not aware of what you're saying or doing on that platform, then can you only imagine what it's like when no one's around or when he is truly in private settings? You know, I just don't believe that someone just accidentally says that if that's just not part of what they do. You don't just accidentally say that if you don't ever say it. Okay, that's just the way I look at it. That's just my opinion, and I don't believe that is the case. I don't believe he accidentally said something he never says.
Well, on the video,
so he does have to pay the price.
Yeah,
for that.
I don't think anybody feels sorry for him either.
Nor should they.
Yeah, nor should they. On the video, I went. You know, I've watched it several times now. You hear him say the word, and then you hear the other competitors. And keep in mind, these aren't all professional drivers. These are, I mean, if I was at that level, I could race with these guys. I mean, that's what's cool about iRacing. And so they have closed team channels like they normally would in a regular race car. And then they have public channels where you can talk to everybody. Well, he said this over the public channel, and somebody goes, you do realize that was to everyone, right? And then you hear other people go, yikes. That's not good. And, I mean, it's on video, and the tape don't lie. So he was done right at that point. And so it's sad because you would think in 2020 we're better than this, but he has paid the ultimate price. He did apologize, but the apology was after all the backlash started, and so I think – now I look at that of, well, you're, you know, are you really sorry or are you apologizing because you know you're in big trouble? That's my question.
I guess what I don't understand.
We should also say this. We should also not imply that it's okay to say it behind the scenes either, right? Amongst your coworkers, your buddies, whatever like that. I mean, that's unacceptable as well. I always test my, I mean, if anybody says something like that, if I ever run across that, and it's been a while since I have, but if somebody brings that word up, I think you got to hope that everybody in the room raises the red flag and says, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, that's not acceptable, right? You got to call those people out too. So let's just make that distinction.
I guess where I'm confused is he said that's not how he was raised. And I'm just trying to figure out how a 27-year-old gets to that point in this day and time. One, it has been well established. I mean, well established. How many more examples do there need to be if you don't understand, since you've been an adult, that there are huge consequences?
Didn't Riley Cooper have that happen when he was with the Eagles?
There's been all kinds of incidents over the year. I mean, like I said, it's not like he was the first time this has happened and it was like, oh, wow, we must set a precedent. I mean, this has been going on. So if he wasn't raised that way and he's been and he's just 27 years old, like, how does that happen? If you weren't raised that way, and then so just as you've become an adult, how did you get to since you've been an adult, you've been fully aware that this is completely unacceptable. So, you know what I mean? I don't understand how that could even happen. If you claim that you weren't raised that way, if you weren't brought up in that, you know, then how did that happen? That's probably the question I would have for him.
Valid question.
Tell us. How did that happen in your 20s?
And he
if you weren't raised that way.
He will have to address that because, I mean, look, you know, I don't. He's probably going to go away for a while, but there will come a time where he does an interview and he gets asked a question, either that question exactly or one similar to it, He's going to have a good answer for it. You know, he, I guess it's safe to say, and I'll get your guys' opinion on this. Do you think he can come back from this eventually?
Well, I think everybody, yeah, sure, everybody gets second chances. I mean,
right.
There's not, we've never been against second chances. It's what do you do? What do you learn from that? Do you change?
Bingo.
That's what I want to know.
Bingo.
Are you a different person? Did you actually learn from this, or are you just trying to get another job
right.
in the sport? I mean, he'll get another job, but will he get another job as a driver in the sport? And if so, what did you learn from that?
Right.
How did you change? Who are you today? That's what I would want to know.
And these are obviously different circumstances, but there have been drivers that have gone through, you know, difficult times and whatever. They've either had an incident or personal stuff, and some have come out better on the other side and some haven't. You know, Kurt Busch has had a very interesting career, and you've dealt with Kurt Busch. I've dealt with Kurt Busch. Now he's one of the best guys to have on to interview. He's been on this show. He's a great guy to deal with. Earlier in his career, he wasn't. He was a jerk and had incidents on and off the racetrack and lost some good rides because of that. He learned from it. He grew. And now he's a champion, and he's won the Daytona 500. And he's with Chip Ganassi Racing. That's the team that he drives for. So he was Kyle Larson's teammate. But those are, you know, that he's a prime example, and albeit a different circumstance. He didn't have a racial slur, but, you know, can Kyle Larson look at instances like that and learn from it and then land another ride? You know, he didn't win a lot. He's, I think, only got 3 or 4 career wins, but he was a very consistent driver and was making the playoffs and with a really good team and Chip Ganassi Racing. So it's just, like you said, it's all about how he can learn and grow from this mistake and make sure that he doesn't do anything like this again.
All right, we will touch on the Tua and Trent Dilfer to close out the second hour. On the other side, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Eddie George to kick off the third hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Tuesday. We've had some really good conversations with Trent Dilfer since he's been in town and over at Lipscomb Academy. In fact, we've done shows over there, or a show over there, and we've really enjoyed our conversations with him. And it is no secret, at least to us, and we've talked about it on and off the air with Trent Dilfer and how he feels about Tua. And Tua and Jalen Hurts are going to be, you know, the talk for the NFL draft that's just around the corner. And Trent told us the last time he was on with us how he feels about Tua, and he's been working out Tua for months now, and he's been getting a lot of run on ESPN this week, as we said here on a Tuesday, on SportsCenter and NFL Live. And look, he has not changed at all. He's been telling us this before he was doing these interviews and telling, you know, ESPN of how good Tua. He told us point blank, he can make all the throws. He's the best. He's the most talented kid he's ever seen. And his love for Tua and how he feels about him has been there. And now he's had the opportunity to work him out for months here in town. And as you can tell from hearing him talk about Tua, you know, the way he feels about him has grown even more since we've talked to him.
It definitely feels that way. I mean, he had high praise for him with us, like you were saying, and then seeing some of the other outlets that he's been on and talking about it. And every time they show B-roll of Tua throwing, I'm like, hey, that's at Lipscomb, or hey, that's at D1, or hey, there's Trent, you know. So I think that we always look at Trent's career, you know, overall, and maybe don't hold it in the, you know, the light that we do with others because of the stats, but he's got that football mind. I mean, you guys have talked to him for years, and you know how smart he is when it comes to the game of football. And so having somebody like that to work with, if you're Tua, has to be beneficial. And I think that's, you know, that's going to pay off for him. I'm curious to see what team takes him and then what it looks like. Is he a day one starter? Is he going to learn for a while? You know, I think the time will tell. It depends on what team takes him. But I've seen a couple of different mocks that have him going, obviously, to Miami. But Kuiper released his mock 4.0 today and has him going 6 overall to the Chargers. I think that'd be a good
Didn't he have Herbert in front of him?
Yeah, to Miami.
Yeah, I don't see that.
I'm you and I are on the same page with this. I am not a believer in Justin Herbert. I just not at all.
Nope.
Don't see it.
I didn't watch him enough to really get a good feel, at least personally, right? I didn't watch Oregon play nearly as much as I watched Tua. And there's no question. That day when we hung out at Lipscomb, we did our whole show from there, and we heard Trent. We all kind of had our eyes opened, right? It was like, ooh, he really has gone out and said, this guy is special. This guy is the real thing. So I do wonder how the Dolphins see it. But it just takes the one team, right, to think that that's what they see in Herbert, right? That wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility. But I do think someday, right, with all these great things we're hearing about Tua and with Jalen Hurts, I think someday there's going to be some sort of 30 for 30 written about the two of them, you know, and the path that both of them took. I think it's a really interesting story that's developing here, and maybe something that for the next 10 years we watch.
Willie, I did watch Justin Herbert a fair amount because I'd like to tell you about a wonderful thing called Pac-12 After Dark. It's fascinating. And so,
Is it fascinating?
There are times where it's so bad that you can't look away.
Is it? So you equate it to Tiger King.
Yeah, it's like that. But like I enjoyed, and I think it's because of the personal relationship. I watched Arizona State some this year because of Herm. You know, we've had some great conversations with Herm Edwards over the years, and I can remember that game in which Arizona State won against Oregon. Herbert didn't look good in that game at all, and those were some of the things that people have been worried about with him. So that's one reason why I'm just not a believer. But back to the Tua conversation, I think it's fascinating, Willie. You bring up the 30 for 30 with Jalen Hurts and Tua And let's see how their NFL careers go. You know, will one be better than the other? Will they both have stellar careers? I think time will tell. But just the college part of it has been, you know, a fascinating story to see.
I don't buy for a minute that Herbert's going to be bad. I think Tua, if you're asking me, is he the real deal? I think he's the real deal. I think he's going to be spectacular.
Here's a question for you.
I have no
doubt. We've all been wrong. We've all been wrong before about somebody, though.
Sure. Okay. Better career. Just your gut. Herbert or Jalen Hurts?
Ooh. Ooh.
Uh-huh. That's why I asked it. Because you've had a strong opinion on Jalen Hurts, and you haven't backed down from that. And then you have one on Justin Herbert, it seems. So I think it's a fair question.
Wow. Who will have the better career? Man, I don't even know.
Him.
I don't think either one of them are going to be good starters. Doesn't mean they can't last and hang around in the league for a long time. I just don't see either one of them as, I mean, Justin Herbert is going to be, he is going to be made into an everyday starter, I believe, whoever drafts him. But I don't think he's that good. I think he's going to get more of an opportunity. So I guess probably a slight lean toward Herbert just because he's going to get more opportunities, I would think. But I don't know. I don't think either one of them are going to be the answer is probably neither, because I don't think either one of them are going to be great NFL starting quarterbacks. Doesn't mean they're not going to get their chances. They will. But what do they do with it? And, you know, do they turn into, unfortunately, some of the guys that have come through here and other places, right? They're more backups than starters.
But if Jalen Hurts has, you know, if he turns out to be, especially the first couple of years of his career, to be similar to that of Taysom Hill, then I think the answer is going to be Jalen Hurts. Because whatever team takes him, they're going to find packages for him and use him in that realm. And that's something, you know, we've heard people talk about over the last, you know, last few weeks with him. But I think that's going to be the one to watch. It's not the Tua versus Hurts comparison. It's somebody like Herbert versus Hurts to see who's going to turn out to have a better career.
I mean, there's so many ways it can go, though. You think about, a first-round pick is going to get a shot, right? But the problem sometimes is the first-round pick gets thrown in there on a bad team that doesn't have the support system around him. The coach gets fired, and you get into this, cycle where it just never works. And then sometimes the benefit of a guy like Hurts, who let's just say he goes mid-second round, something like that, on a team that maybe can be patient, and when he gets in there, he's got a better team around him. That's a plausible thing that can really help.
Yep.
A guy that maybe, under the radar or something.
Yeah, you're asking us to predict what team, what system, what scheme. There's a lot of things that have to fall into place, obviously, for us to find out the answer to the question, which makes it fun. It makes it intriguing.
Well, especially right now. I mean, this is where creativity comes into play because of everything going on. You got to have some of these outside-the-box conversations.
And maybe Hurts is the right answer because he lands with the right team. I probably should say Hurts because I do think Hurts is – maybe got a little bit more upside because of what he could do. I just am not sold on Herbert. I watched him. I didn't sit there and watch every game last year, but I definitely watched him some, and I just wasn't that impressed. I wasn't. That's just me.
Every time I've seen him play, I haven't been that impressed with him. I end up going, what's the deal with this guy? Why is there so much hype?
But I also got criticized for saying the same thing about Dwayne Haskins. And I know he's still very early on in his career, but right now, what I said about him, the concerns that I had, have played out. And I know it's a small, small sample size, but, there were a lot of people who were like, what are you talking about with Dwayne Haskins? Are you watching him at Ohio State? And I'm like, you can't stop looking at what they're doing in college and thinking that translates to the NFL. It's a different game. What are you seeing at Ohio State? What are you seeing with somebody? And I had concerns. Justin Herbert, I just haven't been impressed. If Willie will also remember, I used to say that about Derek Carr. I would watch his games at, where'd he go, Fresno? And I would say, I watched this Derek Carr guy that everybody's talking, and I know he's the brother. And I said, I'm just not that impressed. I don't know what everybody sees in him. Now, he's probably he's been better than what I thought, but in the end, I think he's going to probably end up being what I thought, right? I mean, it seems like, don't we feel like he's getting squeezed with the Raiders? Like this is eventually going to end here sooner rather than later? Don't we feel that way or no?
I mean, yeah, because I think Gruden and, Gruden is bringing in Mariota, thinking that Mariota's going to, because he's always been impressed with him, so... I mean, and Mariota's got to go in there thinking he's going to try and take that job. Yeah, I don't see it lasting too much longer in Vegas.
See, I think Tua and Trevor Lawrence are no-brainers. I mean, no-brainers, in my opinion. They're going to be stars in the league. That's the way I feel about them.
There are guys like that, and then there are guys like Christian Hackenberg that everybody thinks is going to be, the next big thing, and they just flop.
Willie knows. I used to say that about him all the time. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it. We used to have some very spirited debates about Hackenberg. I said, I don't get it. I don't see what everybody sees in him. All these people saying he's going to go number one overall. I was like, I don't see it. And we know he was a gigantic flop. All right, we'll come back. Our conversation with Eddie George, you're going to want to hear this. This is really good stuff as he is battling Pacarine right now in our final four of our Nashville sports bracket. You're going to want to hear Eddie George to kick off the third hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase. That's next.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.